I want to start this morning by playing a little game of let's pretend. Let's pretend that you are one of the people who was involved in the passage that I read this morning from Matthew. Let's pretend that you lived some 2,000 years ago as one of them, you know, one of those who lived in Palestine at the time of Christ, one of those who left your little Judean village or town and went to go see that strange man that everyone was talking about, the man named John, the one whom they called the Baptist. Imagine yourself following a crowd of people to a winding, turning river that you had been to before, but now there was a strange sight indeed for you. This man named John was not someone like you have ever seen before. There you are, dressed in your fine coats and your fine tunics and sandals. And then there's this man John, who is wearing, of all things, a coat made of camel's hair. The PETA people probably would have thrown a fit. And around his waist was a girdle, a belt made of leather. And you could sense and see at his side was the remnants of his last meal. Not loaves, not fishes, but locusts and wild honey. What would you have thought? What would you have perceived about this strange sight? Well, you would have definitely been confused, not only by what he looked like, but by what he said. His simple message, just a few words, and you would hear them over and over again. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you will have thought the same thing that so many others must have thought. These are crazy words from a crazy man. If John the Baptist were living today, we would not be so kind to him. Too radical. Too crazy. If our words were kind, we would simply label him as an eccentric street preacher, or at best, just another one of those fundamentalists or conservatives on the extreme. In this day and age, society tends to take those whom they seem extreme, who carry their religious convictions on their sleeve, and shun them, ignore them. Society's words always are, well, that's fine for you to believe, but just keep it to yourself. Don't let it impact or influence anybody else. Society wants people like John the Baptist to keep it to themselves and to not let it interfere with other people's beliefs. And so too often, Christians, just like you and me, shrink back in their convictions and their devotion. They wouldn't want to rock the boat, after all. They wouldn't want to ripple the waters or cause any stir. So they tuck their beliefs and their convictions deep down inside, in a proverbial box for safekeeping, so that no other people can see the Christian life that wants to come out. So I want to play one more game of let's pretend. Let's pretend that John the Baptist's message really mattered. Let's pretend that the message that we hear this morning from Matthew does not come from a man that we need to ignore because of his extremism or fanaticism. But let's pretend that the message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, really is an important message for today. What difference would that make? It's a difficult message to give, because it's a difficult message to receive. No one likes to hear that they have to repent. People don't like to hear that they have to get right with God. But if there's ever any time during the year that we have to prepare for the coming of God, and we have to repent, it's right now, during Advent. during the time of the greatest joy, the greatest coming of any force in our lives. And so I want to suggest to you two ways that you can make the message of John the Baptist real in your life this morning, for ourselves and for others. The first thing that we learn from John the Baptist is a very important thing. It's that preparing for Christ means taking a risk. At times it means going counter-cultural to what society wants us to do. It means going against the messages of the world around us. One of the messages of the world is that he who dies with the most toys wins. But Christ says that our treasures are not of this world. When the world says to us that you got to look out for number one, Christ says, first will be last, and the last will be first. When the world says you got to cover your rear, look out for yourself, Christ says you need to take care of the poor, the children, the widowed, the underprivileged, those who have no hope. Because when you take care of them, you take care of him. When the world says fight for your rights, Christ says cast all of your cares upon him. When the world says trust no one, Christ says I am the way, the truth, and the life. Today is a day when we join with three of our young people this morning in one of the most significant moments of their spiritual lives. Pay attention, I'm talking about you. Because they will in a moment stand before you and stand before God and for the first time on your own profess your allegiance and obedience to Jesus Christ and to God. And you know what? Young people, this is a moment of risk. This is a moment that will hopefully influence the rest of your lives, because you know what? Things get risky from here on out. Because from this moment on, people at school or coworkers at your jobs or even family or friends will try to convince you that the life that you have decided right now to live, this Christian life, may not be the way for you to go. They're going to tempt you with ways to get ahead in wrong ways. They're going to tempt you to take your religious beliefs and stick them under your coat and not show anybody. They're going to tempt you to satisfy yourself with pleasures that are unhealthy to you or unhealthy to other people. This is a moment where you make a decision that may cost you some friends, may cost you some important things that you thought were really valuable. But I want to let you know something. That right here, in this place, on this day, not only are you going to be confirmed and profess for yourself for the first time what you believe, but you can look out and see each and every one of us who are cheering for you as well. And you need to know that even though this is a risky thing that you're about to do, God's people, God's church, is with you. And so on this day, dear ones, this is not just a moment for our young people. It is a moment for all of us to affirm for them that we will support them and encourage them in the path that they have on their own decided to take on this day. It is a moment of great joy, but a moment that we must together take with them, reminding each and every one of our young people that they are remarkably gifted, remarkably valuable to God, and valuable to us. And together, we take this risky journey. So preparing for the Christ child means living a life of risk. But you know what? It also means living a life of repentance. There is no sidestepping the central message of John the Baptist, that you need to repent, that you need to get rid of the things in your life that shouldn't be there. There is no mistaking that. But there's something very important that we need to understand. Because the tendency might be for us to think that if we don't repent, then God doesn't love us. Or that if we don't get rid of those things in our lives, then God's grace does not shine upon us. Is John the Baptist calling us to repent because if we don't, then God won't love us anymore? Is John the Baptist calling us to repent because if we don't, then God won't come to us? Absolutely not. That is not the reason for repentance, dear ones. I am a firm believer in the fact that we do not need to make ourselves clean before coming to God, for exactly the same reason that we don't need to cure ourselves of our disease before we go to a physician, or we need to tidy ourselves up before we bathe in a river. That is not why we repent, dear ones. The reason is located in John's words. He said it himself. He said, "Prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight." What he's saying is our very actions and our very words and our ideas determine the ease by which God shows incredible blessings and grace upon our life. It's not a question of whether God loves us. It is a question of how we receive and sense God's favor in our lives. And that is dependent upon repentance. We all learned this in our physics classes, didn't we? That energy tends to follow a certain path. Now, whether the energy is in the form of electrons or in water or 5 o'clock traffic, energy tends to follow the path of what? Least resistance. And it is possible for us to put up spiritual resistance in our lives with things that shouldn't be there, actions or thoughts or ideas or words that don't preclude us from being viable recipients of God's grace, but they do put up barriers. Barriers that prevent God from easing in the many blessings and grace which God so desperately wants to reveal to us and share with us. If there is anything in your life that needs to be taken care of before God, realize that it needs to be done. Not because God won't love you if you don't, but because if you do, you will see exactly how much God loves you. There is a major difference that we need to understand. And so I won't go into any detailed suggestions about the kinds of things you need to take spiritual inventory of. That's never my job and not the job of any of us here. It is your responsibility between you and God to take a look deeply into your life this Advent season and ask truly, am I ready for the full rush and energetic impulse of God's love and presence in my life this Advent season? And if I'm not, I need to get ready. I need to repent. I need to make those choices and those changes in my life. And I pray that that's your prayer this morning. In just a few moments, we'll be celebrating the joyful acceptance of Sarah and Race and Mason into this fellowship. This great moment when they decide that they want to be followers of Jesus Christ and members of this church and God's family. And afterwards, they're going to help me serve communion. The four of us will be here behind the altar serving you all. And we invite you to come forward at that time, regardless of whether you're United Methodist or not. This is not our table, it is God's table. And it is at this place you can celebrate the joy of God's presence in your life and confess to God those things that need to be removed from your life. We are compelled by the scriptures this morning to not just pretend that we hear John the Baptist's words, but to know that they make a difference. To know that you don't need to be a radical, to do some radical things in your life, to take some risks, to do some things that God compels you to do for the betterment of yourself, for the betterment of others, and to know that there are some things in your life that need to be removed, like repenting from your sins, truly preparing a straight and easy path for God to reveal God's self to you and to share blessings and love with you. Whatever convictions you might have, I pray that God show them to you as you come to the table this morning and as we continue together on this great journey to Bethlehem. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all, amen.